right now we are looking at imminent landfall of this storm. Winds of 150 miles per hour, storm surges upwards of 15 to 16 feet, 20 inches of rain or more with this system.
The scenes of devastation brought by disasters like Hurricane Ida in 2021 quickly fade from our news feeds after just a few short days. But Steve, as you know, the hard work of rebuilding lasts a lot longer.
Right, Jenny. It takes many months and even years to clean up from disasters like that, and we're seeing more and more of them with climate disruption.
Yeah, we sure are. Well, many of the people doing that work belong to a group called
Resilience
Workers.
Living on Earth, Sophia Pandelides.
They're often low-paid immigrants, sometimes undocumented, who travel across the U.S. from disaster to disaster, rebuilding communities, kind of like how agricultural workers follow seasonal crops. Advocates say they're the unsung heroes of rebuilding our country from the ravages of climate change, but that they're often being exploited. These advocates say these workers are overworked, underpaid, and not given the resources they need to be safe.
Oh my, I understand you recently connected with one of these resilience workers.
That's right. Joel Salazar got started with this kind of work right after he moved to the United States from Venezuela 5 years ago.
I arrived in Panama City Beach after Hurricane Michael, a Category 5 hurricane that completely destroyed the city. Then I became involved in reconstructing local communities.
Joel was doing heroic work, but it was often dangerous and traumatic.
The most difficult part is seeing how a hurricane or a fire has destroyed millions of homes and watching firsthand how climate change impacts daily life. When I see that horrible level of destruction, I am afraid because I am not sure what I may face. I may be electrocuted, I may find the body of a person, or come in contact with chemicals. And a lot of us are not prepared or equipped for this work that we must face. So that saddens me because we risk our lives so communities can rebuild and people can go back to their homes and continue on with their lives.
And because thousands of these workers are in vulnerable positions as immigrants, they often have no choice but to accept the low pay a contractor offers, if they get paid at all. And that's how Joel says he was taken advantage of.
I was a victim of labor exploitation, of labor fraud. I wasn't compensated.
Oh, that's so horrible. Jenny, what about labor standards? What kind of protections are in place for these resilience workers?
That's the thing. Federal aid dollars are currently doled out without specifying basic labor protections like a minimum wage, overtime pay, and safer working conditions. Joel's trying to help fill that gap, and he now works as an organizer for Resilience Force, a nonprofit aimed at strengthening and securing America's resilience workforce. Part of his job involves protecting resilience workers from the injustice he experienced.
As field organizers, we visit the centers where these workers meet, and we try to provide support. A lot of the time, they are alone. They arrive in the United States by themselves, and they can't count on anyone for support. I've also seen that once the cleanup is over, resilience workers are kicked out of cities, or immigration picks them up. So it's very sad to see how a lot of us leave a stable life to travel and reconstruct communities, and then after the work is done, we are set aside and abandoned.
And Steve, the lack of basic labor protections and access to healthcare can lead to tragedy. Like in the case of David Martinez, a reconstruction worker Joel Salazar knew personally.
Today we got an early call. One of the resilience workers we work with was found in a public area. He was found dead, probably because of some sort of illness. Unfortunately, a lot of resilience workers don't have health care, and they can't go to a hospital. And oftentimes they end up dying in the worst way. And that news today impacted all of us who work as field organizers. It's really hard to see how this young man did not receive the full support he needed. Just like him, there are a lot of resilience workers who don't have any support. That's why this organization exists, to say, hey, I've been in your shoes, and this is what you can do. So we're trying to provide the maximum support we can to change this industry.
Wow, that's such a heartbreaking story.
It is. But there is a glimmer of hope. A new bill in Congress aims to protect disaster recovery workers and create jobs. The Climate Resilience Workforce Act was introduced in the House in February by Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington State. There haven't been any hearings on the bill yet, but the goal is to establish a $15 minimum wage and ensure healthcare coverage. And it will prioritize the communities most in need of federal assistance when climate disasters strike.